Blog Talk Radio.
I believe every word he said and all the promises spoken to me. I believe that his word is true. Come on over and you will see that the Lord is good and the Lord is kind. The Lord will bring you a peace of mind. Stand on your faith, believe in his word.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me, love me with your whole heart, he wants it all today. Serve me with your life now, he wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols, he wants it all today. He wants it all today, he wants it all today, he wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Marketing Ministry, the radio show. I am your host, Wanda Adams, and as always, we give all glory and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We were just listening to Forever Jones, He Wants It All, and I just love that song because Jesus gave so much for us that we can at least give our all unto Him. Today's show is a phenomenal show. We have as our very special guest today, Bishop Charles Johnson from the Will Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. He is a man of great vision, a man of great faith, and I know that God has put in his spirit on today a word for the house. So with no further ado, we're going to bring on the line my friend, Bishop Charles Johnson. Hello, Bishop Johnson.
Hello, Sister Adams. How are you, dear?
I am wonderful. How about you?
I'm doing well. I'm actually calling you from a little amusement park we have here in Raleigh called Frankie's. I'm hanging out with my youth today. And so they're giving me this time to kind of get away and have this conversation with you. They gave me permission to talk with you some today. So that's where I am. I'm taking care of our young people.
Hey, that's okay. And tell them on behalf of Marketing Ministries, we thank them for sharing you, and we want to thank you for hanging out with us because, as I stated earlier, you know, when I was trying to prepare for the questions that I was going to ask you on today, the Holy Spirit did a little something. He said, you know, Bishop Johnson is going to come with the word for our listeners because today's show is all about vision, and we know that you are a man of great faith and great vision, and we know that God has imparted in something into you this day to just affect and change people's lives.
Well, praise the Lord. I take it, I count it as an honor. Let me tell you, thank you for this opportunity to be able to share your time with you. I don't take it for granted. And, you know, I understand when God puts two people together, when there's a connection, he does that on purpose. And I'm so happy to be connected with you and the things that you're doing. And, again, to have this opportunity to be able to share with all the people that you touch and all the people that you minister to. I mean, because truth be told, you're doing a great work as well. And there are a lot of people, a lot of ministries that you are really, really helping, and you're being a great asset to the body of Christ. This is certainly an honor for me.
Well, thank you, and we give God all the glory and honor because I tell my clients and I try to share with everybody that I meet, Bishop, that don't look for me to do anything for you. Look what God is going to do through me.
Wow, that's good. That is good. And I'm telling you, he's doing a lot through you. You are opening up great doors. And the thing that I appreciate most about what you do is that you allow people to be who they are. You give them information, you give them insight, and then they take that information and insight that you have given to them, the Lord's given to you, and you have translated it on to them. You allow people to be who they are. And I think that's one of the aspects that we miss in church, some of our gospel artists, even in business. We get so caught up in trying to be somebody that we're not, that we lose the authenticity of the anointing God's given us. Because truth be told, Sister Adams, I'm only anointed to be me. Once I start getting off into trying to be somebody else, I lose the anointing that God has given me. And I appreciate so much about your ministry that you allow people to be who they are. You let them know up front that you're not gonna make them Michael Jackson. They're not gonna be this famous person overnight. But whatever God's gonna do, he's going to do, and he's going to speak through you to tell them some of the things that they need to do. But then they've got to take that and be able to allow God to mold it and make it so they can be who they're supposed to be in the kingdom. You know, so many times, you know, we see such successes all over the country, people being doing well, doing what they do, and there's a part of us, you know, we want that success as well, but then we try to emulate directly what they do, and that's not what God has called us to do. You're anointed to be who you are. You're anointed to be an asset to the kingdom, and there are people that want to hear what you have to say. There are people that want to hear the ministry and song from you. They know, you know, what C.C. Winans sounds like. They know what Kirk Franklin sounds like. They've heard Bishop Jakes, and they've heard Pastor Jamal Bryant. They want to hear from you. And I think that's an important element that has to be revealed. We have to look at it because, like I said, I'm only anointed to be me. And I'm the best me that there is in the world. If I'm going to get an award, I'm going to get an award for being Charles. So that's what I need to concentrate on.
Absolutely. And just to piggyback on that, you know, we have to understand purpose and prosperity. Mm-hmm. And the Bible does not say that prosperity equates dollars. Prosperity means to fulfill your purpose. So your purpose may not to be a national recording artist. God may have had you spend $30,000 to do one CD to meet that one person, because the Word of God tells us that if Jesus has 99 and one has gone astray, he's concerned about that one.
That's right. That's right.
And he will use all of his resources to get that one, because he is a God of reconciliation.
That's right. I think the thing that we have to understand, like you said, is our purpose. And we can only get that from the Creator. We can only get what we're designed to do from our Creator. If you want to learn or know why a VCR was created, you have to go to the guy that created it. You can't ask the creation, because the creation really doesn't know unless its Creator tells it. So we have to go to God and say, okay, God, what did you purpose me for? If you didn't purpose me to be a national recording artist, then what did you purpose me for? And when we and when we stop fighting it and go ahead and give in to what God called us to do, we'll find the successes that we're looking for. We'll find the peace that we're looking for. We'll find the fulfillment that we're looking for. As soon as we find out, accept and deal with and cultivate the purpose that God has called us for, we'll find a whole lot of our prayers being answered. We'll find people's lives being changed. You'll even find doors being opened for you. And what you thought you needed a national platform for, is you can get happening right there in front of you. You know, many many preachers and many singers, you know, we're always, we see these big platforms, and we just want, we think, if I get on that platform, if I can get the mic at that conference, my whole life's going to change. And that's not necessarily so. You know, some of us, we get those major platforms, and nothing happens. We go right back, just like David did, go right back out there with those sheep, and nobody knows us. It's because we have, it's not what we're supposed to be doing. And sometimes that's a hard word to give. It's a hard word to give to a pastor that thinks he's supposed to be, or she's supposed to have a mega ministry with thousands and thousands of people. And then you tell them, are you sure that that's what God called you to? It's a hard word to give, but if you accept it and you ask God to speak, God, make me mega where I am, whatever that is. Whatever that entails, I want to be that. I don't want to be anything, God, you don't want me to be. And as soon as we get that peace, and I had to get to that myself, Mr. Adams, truth be told, I've been around great men of God. I've been around great men of God, and if I name some of the names, everybody would know who they are. And inside of me, because of what I saw, I felt like that's where I got to be. That's what's got to happen to me. And then God told me, he had to say, well, wait a minute now. Just because they got there that way doesn't mean I'm going to take you that same way. Just because they're doing this over here doesn't mean I've called you to that. So as soon as I finished wrestling with God, and, you know, hollering and screaming and rolling on the floor and going through my little temper tantrum, God said, okay, as soon as you finish, we can talk. I'll tell you what your purpose is for. And after I got through all that stuff, Sister Adams, I came to a peace within myself. And I said, God, whatever you want me to do is what I'm going to do. Wherever you want to place me is where I will be placed. I don't want to be anybody, do anything that you don't want me to be or you don't want me to do. And as soon as I got to that place, you're talking about the word of God opening. You're talking about opportunities coming to me. You're talking about all these other things happening where I felt like I had to bust down my own doors and I had to go and pass out my cards and I had to go and do these different things. And not to take anything away from that, good. But at the same time, there is a place that God has specifically designed for me to be. And in that place, I sometimes call it my Eden. God has planted a Garden of Eden for me. And everything I need is in that garden.
Now, I know that's right, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, because I think whenever you're casting vision, you go through a wrestling period and you go through transition. And I know a great man of God had told me one time, he said, you know, transition can be a very lonely place. It can be a very difficult place because one door has closed and the other hasn't opened completely yet. So you don't really have clarity. But I know in my periods, you know, I was like, oh, God, I'm doing all this, and this has happened, and, you know, I'm not getting the support. And, you know, I don't know how God talks to you, but how he talks to me, he says, oh, Wanda, hush. Who do you want to know your name? Do you want the people to know your name, or do you want me to know your name? Because the people will disappoint you, but I'll never fail you. I can open doors for you that no man can open, and I can close the doors for you that need to be closed. And I begin to become humble and thankful and realize, yeah, God, I want you to know my name. I don't care about any of the other accolades that come along, because what I'm doing to further advance your kingdom. And I know in the body of Christ, we should be further along than where we are.
Yes, that's right. You know, absolutely. You're absolutely right.
Should.
If we would get that kingdom mindset that says whatever I'm doing, that when people see me, they see the kingdom.
All right. If
many people, there are so many people in the world that will never come to church, they'll never see, you know, watch Christian television, but every time they see you or me, they see the kingdom. So everything that I do or say reflects on the kingdom. So I need to be more kingdom conscious that if I'm naming the name of Christ and whatever it is I'm doing, be it on a local basis, national basis, in the local church or whatever it is I'm doing, sitting at the cubicle at my job, it is the fact of the matter is I am reflecting the kingdom. So everything I do, everything I say needs to reflect the kingdom. Even when it comes to, you know, and it surprises me how even from where I sit as a pastor, how even pastors, unfortunately, we can't come together to do kingdom things because one guy is more concerned about, well, who's going to get paid for it or who's going to have to spend money to do it or who's going to be in charge of it and who's going to, you know, get the final say-so and who's going to, you know, do all these different things when it should be totally and completely about the kingdom. My name would have to be on anything. Nobody has to know who I am. The goal is who's going to be won to the kingdom, whose life is going to be changed by the kingdom. And as soon as we get that kind of mindset, and I think that's beginning to happen more and more, I'm running into more and more leaders who are more excited about how we can affect the world for the kingdom. You know, our names don't have to be known. We're not trying to have big churches. We don't have to have big cars and $1,000 suits. We're interested in winning souls to the kingdom and people's lives being changed. Because ultimately, the only collateral that goes from here to heaven is a soul. You know, your CDs don't go, your DVDs don't go. The only thing that goes from here to heaven is a soul. So if we are concerned about anything, it should be a soul. If God has allowed you to connect with someone that does not know him, it's not so they'll worship you. It's so they'll find him. If somebody is in your work environment and you find that there's a person in their family that is sick or they're going through a divorce or they're having a hard time in life and you find out about it, it's for you to minister to that so the kingdom can invade that person's life. Everything that God has allowed in our lives is allowed because he wants the kingdom to be known. He wants his name to be glorified. He wants somebody to be turned to him. So even in your successes, even in your blessings, even all the great things that happen for you, he allowed those things for you so you can turn those things around to give him glory so somebody will be one to him. So the impact that we have to make in this world is not for us, you know, to become famous. It's for us to turn people to the kingdom, so the kingdom will be glorified.
Amen. Now, Bishop Johnson, how would you describe Charles Johnson, the man, versus Bishop Charles Johnson, the overseer?
Oh, wow. Well, Charles Johnson, the man, really is very, very private. Charles Johnson, the man, can be funny. Almost like a practical joker a little bit. Charles Johnson, the man, is a family man, loves his family. Bishop Charles Johnson is a stickler for detail. Bishop Charles Johnson is no nonsense. Bishop Charles Johnson is a student of the Word of God. Bishop Charles Johnson loves people. He loves being around people, loves meeting people, loves helping people and encouraging people. But there is a distinct difference between, and you would probably have to ask my wife, but there's a distinct difference between Charles Johnson and Bishop Charles Johnson. Matter of fact, Charles Johnson, when he goes home after church, Bishop, the closer he gets to the house, becomes Charles after service.
Mm-hmm.
Bishop, the closer he gets to his mom and daddy's house, becomes Charles. Because at my mom and daddy's house, you know, they, please, Bishop, I wish you would say Bishop. Boy, you better get that trash can and grab that vacuum.
Uh-huh. Ain't no titles here, huh?
I know that's right. No, ma'am. In my own house, as soon as I get home. Now, my wife, you know, of course she calls me Bishop at church, and when she's around other people, she'll call me Bishop. But when we're at the house, it's Bay and Charles, and sometimes she calls me Chuck, and, you know. So there are some distinct differences between the two. Sometimes I like Charles a little more than I like Bishop.
I understand, but, because with that office, it costs.
I'm telling
real
you,
ministry costs.
I'm telling you, I don't know. Over the past several years, I've noticed everybody running for the title, everybody trying to, you know, if you can't get somebody, one person to do it, you go and find somebody else to do it. And I don't know if there was, if I missed it, but, you know, there's no check involved. There's no money involved in this. There's, you know, because I become bishop now, doesn't mean my salary grade goes up or something. This is an anointing. This is, if anything, more responsibility comes. More attack from the enemy comes. So when somebody starts calling you bishop, there is not only an expectation that needs to be met spiritual, I mean in the natural, but there's an expectation that needs to be met in the spiritual. You know, when you start saying that you are the one of the princes of the church, which a bishop is one of the princes of the church, it means that you now are stepping into a level of spiritual warfare that you did not encounter when you didn't have that. You are being recognized now by demons and imps and all types of principalities that are beyond your natural perspective. So this is not something that, you know, you play with. This is not something that if you're not ready for, you don't get into this kind of thing. Because like I said, this is some serious stuff. So being called a bishop, you're absolutely right. There's a responsibility that comes with that.
Absolutely. Now, Bishop Johnson, we're going to take our first music break, and we're going to open up our phone lines for our listeners. If they have questions for you, they can call in at 917-932-1720. Press 1 to speak to the host. Again, that number is 917-932-1720. We're on live with Bishop Charles Johnson from the Well Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. We're going to take our first music break, and this is one of my favorite songs, Bishop Johnson, from a fellow person that's out of Raleigh by the name of Frank Henderson.
Oh, yeah. I know Frank.
Yeah, he's a terrific guy. And we're going to listen to The Lord Will Make a Way. So just sit back and enjoy.
Like a ship that's tossed and driven, battered by an angry sea, when the storms of life are raging and their fury falls on me, I wonder what I could have done. I wonder what I could have done. Amazing rate, so hard to soul. Don't worry, Lord, don't make a way.
We will take
Welcome back to Marketing Ministry, the radio show. I'm your host, Wanda Adams, and we were just listening to The Lord Will Make a Way by Frank Henderson, and we're hanging out with Bishop Charles Johnson of the Well Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Bishop Johnson, did you like that song?
Oh, that was excellent. I loved it.
I know, it just really ministers to me. I like the way that he put that little extra twist on that old school song.
Yeah.
So I hope that it blesses our listeners as well. Our phone lines are open if you have a question for Bishop Johnson. Now, Bishop, I want to ask you, what does ministry mean to you?
Ministry really means to me the changing of lives. I think that is the essence of what ministry should be about. Is the change of lives for the kingdom. Too many times, I think, you know, there are too many people that know more about church than knew about God, and they know even less about ministry. Ministry really doesn't have to do a whole lot with church. You can minister any and everywhere. So that's what it really means to me. Whenever you're able to allow God to use you as a vessel to change someone else's lives for the kingdom, that's ministry to me.
Now, what is the mission and the vision behind the Well Church?
Well, really, just what I said. It's very plain for us, very simple. It's change a life, save a soul. That's our whole vision. That's what God has called us to do. And in whatever avenue we can use to allow that to happen is what our vision is. It may be through the media through the internet. It may be through doing a free cookout at our church. It may be through the preached word. It may be, you know, coming to hang out with our youth. But it is, our vision is change a life, save a soul. So many times what I've seen, and I'm a church boy, so I've been in church my whole life. And what I've seen time and time again is that people don't come to church like they used to. They just don't see the importance in coming to church, because when they come, there's nothing there that helps them to change or help their life to get better. So what God has laid on my heart is that there needs to be a place where change really happens in people's lives. And the best way to change someone's life is to meet their need. Whatever's going on in their life, be it with their relationships or be it their job situation, finances, whatever the situation may be, if you can help them find some positive change, it opens the door to their soul being one. So God has given us some very creative ideas. Our services are not the typical Sunday morning services we may have. You know, our drama team may do something before the message. We may have a video or something to show before the message. There'll be sometimes we'll do special outreach projects to bring people, bring the church to people, bring the ministry to where they are, and it gives us an opportunity to be able to minister to them, find out what their names are, who their children are, what their circumstances are, and be able to help them change their life. Sister Adam.
That's okay.
We went into our community and knocked on every house. Every house that sat within about a 5-mile radius of our church, we went and knocked on the door with clipboard and pen in hand, and we said to them, "What do you need?" Now, we got everything from, "I need $1 million" to a new plasma TV, but we did get those individuals that said, "Hey, look, I need for you to pray for this." There were some elderly in our community that hadn't had their grass cut in 2 years. We brought some of our men back, and we cut their grass. There was a veteran in that same community that wasn't able to get his medication. So we got on the telephone, we talked to the VA's office, the social services, and we were able to get that veteran's medication renewed back to him. See, those are the kinds of things that helps bring people to Christ. And if you look at the example of Jesus, Jesus fed people before he started talking about salvation. He said, "Do you want your body to be healed? Are you hungry? You know, what is your need?" And then after he fulfilled their need, they were open and available to receive whatever else he had to say. So that's our vision. That's our purpose as the World Church, is to change a life, save a soul.
I understand, because if I have, you know, if you're trying to preach Jesus to somebody and they're hungry, you know, I'm not going to be so receptive if all I'm thinking about is a hamburger.
Right. That's the truth. That's the truth. I mean, we got saved people right now in church are hungry, and we can't, you know, they saved. They think about when this is going to be over. What do you expect from somebody that doesn't know them and they're hungry? They are certainly not listening to what you're saying. So, you know, we'll do a free cookout, and we call it hot dogs and hugs, and we'll give them a hot dog and a hug, and we'll talk to them, and we'll learn who they are, and God then will begin to minister to them. And, you know, they don't always come right back that same Sunday morning, but you know, the more times you do it, they begin to see our heart, and we begin to see their heart, and then, you know, they'll see you out in the public, walking in downtown or in the mall somewhere, and they'll speak. And those types of connections, those types of relationships is what wins people to Christ. You know, they know, you know, if you're saved, you read the Bible and you go to church and all those things. But what they want to know is, how can you help change? How can the Jesus that you serve help change my life where I am right now? Because people are dealing with some real hard life issues that you can't speak in tongues over, you can't dance over. You got to have an answer, and you got to have somebody to kind of walk you through these situations in life. And the more times you can help that person do that, the closer they come to Christ, the more they want to find out about this God that you have, that you serve, that you love so much, that you, you know, pay tithes and offerings and you do all these things. They want to know more about that God. Because now that God is changing their life, making their marriage better, helping their children, you know, making their job situation better. So it's very, very important that we are able to meet the need of a person so that we might be able to win their soul.
Absolutely. Now, Bishop Johnson, let's talk about vision a little bit, because today's show is all about vision.
Right.
Explain to our listeners, what is vision? Because a lot of people think they know, but I kind of disagree.
Yeah, because, see, vision, sometimes I even hesitate to use the word in, I guess, the English context, really, because when we think vision, we often compare it to something we can see, physical, that's actually there in front of me. But what vision really is, it's that thing that's beyond your own physical vision that you know you've been called to do. And it's only given to you by God. I don't care who you are. It's only given to you by God. And sometimes it's difficult for someone that has vision, that can see things before other people can see them. Somebody like a Bill Gates, he has vision. You know, he can see things. He knows things are going to happen years from now before they get there. And people that have great vision usually have great success. The people that can only see what's going on around them, they really are trapped inside of their own circumstance. But when you can see that there's going to be something better after this, that it's not going to always be this way, that my situation is going to get better, that's what vision is. You can't put your finger on it. You can't really, you know, point somebody to that's what it is. But there is something on the inside of you that says there's something bigger than this. There's something better than this. And when the Bible talks about write the vision and make it plain, he's not just talking to who else is going to read it, but he's talking even to the person that's writing it. Because there are certain things that I know, without a shadow of a doubt, God has called me to do. Now, I can't point anybody to it. All I can do is write it down. I can tell it to someone. I can express it. I can get people as close to it physically as I can. But vision really is larger than me. The vision, what God has placed in me, I may not see the end of it. My sons will. It'll pass on to my sons and my sons' sons. That's what vision is, because if you can do it by yourself, it's not vision. God's not in it. But if it's something that's so far beyond you, so large, so big, that you know I can't do this either by myself or in my lifetime, now you're talking about God. Because even in the Word of God, God says, you know, I speak to the third, fourth, and the fifth generation. That's what vision is. Vision is something that wakes you up in the middle of the night. Vision is something that causes you to stay up late at night. Vision is something that when it excites you, or sometimes vision will even make you mad. When you see somebody else doing it and they're not doing it right, it'll upset you. It gets on your nerves. You just go, why are they doing it like that? It makes you cringe. Vision is what makes you talk. Like I'm doing right now, I could just talk like this all the time because this is part of the vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what vision is all about. It's that thing that brings you fulfillment. It's that thing that if somebody mentions it to you one time, you'll take off and they'll have to stop you. They have to make you stop talking.
Wow. Now, time's always flies when you're having a good time. If people wanted to learn more information about Bishop Charles Johnson and the World Church, tell them where they can go and keep in contact with you.
Well, they can go to our website, which is WellChurchInc.com. We're also on the marketing ministry site as well. So if you're part of that, we're also there. We're on Facebook, of course. You can go to Facebook.com/CharlesJohnson3. We're on Twitter. We're on MySpace. You can go MySpace.com/BishopCharles. Of course, and it's kind of old school now, you can call us if you like.
That is old school. Anybody calling nobody Bishop Charles? They may text you, but they ain't going to call you.
Right. They're never going to call me. And they sure not going to write me. But it's 919-647-4964. And our email address is info@WellChurchInc.com. You can reach us in all those places. And if push comes to shove, you can Google us at Well Church, Raleigh, North Carolina, or Bishop Charles Johnson. I'll come up that way as well.
Now, Bishop, in closing, I want to thank you for hanging out with us. But just share with our listeners anything that God has placed on your heart.
Well, like we started out this first, when we started the conversation, just learning who God has called you to be and what your purpose is. I read this book, and this book has really impacted my life, and I'm sure people will know about it, and the author is a wonderful, wonderful author. His name is Dr. Seuss, and the book that I read was Green Eggs and Ham. And Sister Adams, I don't know, maybe God just had to speak to me like this, but as soon as I opened up that book, he began to speak to me about the value he's placed in me. There's a little guy that came around the corner, and he had this sign, and the sign was, I am Sam. And at first, it sounds like a very benign statement, but the more I looked at it, the more profound it became to me that he came around the corner with this sign, declaring to everybody that was going to read this sign, I am Sam. This is who I am. Whether you like it or not, whether you accept it or not, this is who I am. And he had the biggest smile on his face. He was so proud to be who he was because his creator had told him, this is who you are. And I want to encourage everybody that's listening to me, one, go get the book. If you got children, you're probably giving it to them somewhere in the bottom of their toy chest somewhere. But get that book and take it out and read. I am Sam. And after he passed, the little character that was sitting there reading the newspaper, he turns back around and he says, not only I am Sam, but Sam, I am. Everything that Sam is, that's what I am. The good and the bad, this is all you're going to get. And, you know, the Bible speaks to it. The Bible says, you know, you are the head and not the tail. The Bible is very declarative to us. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. It says you are healed. You are my righteousness. You are the called of God. The Bible is very declarative about who we are. And so when he says, I am Sam, he's saying all those things. But not only am I am Sam, but Sam I am. Not only am I blessed, but I am a blessing. Not only am I healed, but I am healing to someone. So it's just good to be able to understand, be happy with who God called you to be excited about what God has called you to do, know your purpose. And then this gentleman at the closing here, this gentleman, he turns around and has something to offer to this other character in the book. He says to him, do you like green eggs and ham? Now, the character had seen eggs before, and he had seen ham before.
Uh-huh.
But he had never seen green eggs and green ham before. And I know there are many people that are listening to your broadcast right now, and they're saying, well, look, everybody's, you know, I know other singers, and I know other preachers, and I know other business people. But God is going to give you a green eggs and ham anointing. What
nobody's
gonna be able to do it like you. Ain't nobody can. Everybody can sing, but nobody can sing like you. And everybody can preach or pastor, but they can't do it like you can do it. So I want you to be happy with who you are. Ask God to continue to anoint who He's called you to be. Find that purpose. Don't let nobody pull you out of it. Don't try to be like so-and-so down the street. Be happy with who God has called you to be, and God's going to give you the anointing that will attract the people that need to hear what you have to offer. Because the only person he was trying to win was the guy that kept telling him, no, I don't like green eggs and ham. That was the only person he was trying to win. If I got him, I could get somebody else. So he said, this guy, he said, well, if you don't like green eggs and ham, would you eat it, you know, with a fox? Would you eat it in a box? Would you eat it here? Would you eat it there? Would you eat it in the house? Would you eat it with a mouse? Because he understood that what I have to offer, it'll work everywhere. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what's going on. What God has given to me, it'll work any and everywhere. So I really want to encourage your listeners, those that are tuned in today, that they really need to allow God to speak to them. The ideas that you have, the creativity that God's given you, the songwriting ability, the singing ability that God has given to you, don't try to make it, you know, fit in with everybody else. God is trying to make you abnormal, and you're trying to stay normal. God is, you know, God's trying to make you extraordinary, and you're trying to stay ordinary, and that's not what you're called to do. You're called to stick out, to be that candle on a hill that cannot be hidden, that everybody will see you, and they'll see your good works, and then you'll give glory to God, and they'll be drawn to Him.
Amen. And Bishop Johnson, I want to thank you for hanging out with us today. I want to thank you for those anointed words of encouragement. Listeners, support the Well Church. You can find Bishop Johnson's profile on marketingministry.ning.com. Visit his website. You know, if you need additional information, you can Google him. But support the Well Church. Bishop, thank you, and I hope that you come back and hang out with us again.
Oh, anytime. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I am so honored to even be considered to be interviewed on your show. Thank you so very much. It's such a blessing to me and to the Well. I appreciate our friendship. And anytime you need me for anything, please let me be at the top of the list of the people you call.
I certainly will. I've been knowing you for some years, so
yes.
As I tell everybody, I like covenant relationships, those that can't no devil in hell do nothing
That's
about.
That's it. That's right. That's right.
So thank you, be blessed, and give my best to your congregation.
I'll do it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well,
bye-bye.
You are listening to Marketing Ministry, the radio show. Tune in next week, and don't forget to market your ministry.